the lyrics of that song, and he said he was going to give them to me. And I think I saw him about 3 or 4 years later at a conference out in Kentucky someplace, and I asked him again, and it was still, it's coming. There was a gospel campaign was in the National Lectureship, I think it was in St. Louis, Missouri. He and I just happened to be on the same elevator, and I asked him again. It's still coming. And fortunately, Brother Marshall Rose was on the same elevator at the time. He was preaching at the Page Boulevard Church in St. Louis. And Marshall said, Brother Ben, I'll get you a copy. He actually gave me a copy, and I have it pinned in my Bible. So even though if our team didn't have it, I got it in my Bible. So it really displays the wonderful trial of Christ, step by step. It's just a tremendous, tremendous song. I hope you realize also the blending of the songs that Brother John shared with us tonight, some modern, if you will, but that trial by Jesus, the owner, William Slater, owns that song, and it goes all the way back to 1913 is the actual date of that particular song. And some of the other songs that we sung tonight are more modern. Truly, when we praise God, when we give him adoration and sing unto him, it is ageless. And so some of those old songs, Go Down Moses and Tell Pharaoh to Let Our People Go, speaks to our heart, as well as some of the melodious, uplifting, praiseworthy type songs. They're all about praising God, and it's a beautiful blend that you and I can come together with as we magnify God across generational gaps, truly because we have one God who is able not only yesterday, but today, but also to tomorrow, and he's worthy of it. John, thank you so much for leading our thoughts and our voices tonight. If you're visiting with us tonight, we're so grateful for your presence and hope and pray that this will not be your last time with us. If you look in back of the pew in front of you, you should see a blue card. It is a visitor's card. When the collection plate is passed, if you can fill that out and just drop it in the collection plate, and that'll give us a record of your visit with us. I want to keep Brother Shelton and his family in our prayers tonight as he's away from us. I want to continue to ask God to bless him and the ministry as we work together to name the name of Jesus. If you have your calendars, you know that this is the last Sunday of this quarter. And if you also see the tremendous banners on either side of the auditorium, you know that we're coming to the close of this quarter, which has been the state of the soul, a disciplined body. We're going into the next quarter, next Sunday, in fact, our third quarter, and it's about witnessing to win, each one reach someone and teach someone. It's about evangelism or outreach. I don't know about you, but this quarter has been wonderful for me. As we look at this idea of the state of the soul, that disciplined body, and I want to close out with God's help, this final quarter or the final message or final Sunday of this particular quarter with a disciplined body. I can think of no greater passage than that which is found, as our brother read tonight, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Because in that passage, it talks about the body, a body that is a wonder. It is that created body that God has made, the intersection of physical, mental, and spirituals. Doctors can have a good living just by focusing in on one aspect of our body. There are some that focus only on the heart. Some focus only on the back. Some only on the brain. And they can make a good living just with one dimension of this complex, wonderful body. It's a complex body to the extent that it is staggering when we have a toothache. And it can ruin an entire night's rest with just one toothache. A cool drink that goes into our mouths can refresh the entire body, the complexity and yet the simplicity of this body. Paul uses the body concept in so many passages. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, Colossians 1, 2, and 3. The concept, if you will, of the complexity, yet the simplicity, and also the effectiveness of the body in action. Paul speaks with regard to the church, helping us to understand that the church functions just like a body. And we see that. We used to say when I was growing up in the south side of Chicago, we would say, don't let your mouth write a check that you can't cash. Sometimes that little thing between our nose and our chin can say something that put the whole body in trouble. But that's the complexity of our body. It is all a single unit. The body focus is very important as we get older. Just walk down the aisle where it has ice cream. You don't even have to open the cabinet. You're going to allow your blood sugar to go up 2 points just by walking down the aisle. As a young boy, you want to begin to understand how the body is going to start producing hair on your chest, because we understand the nature of the body and we're wanting the body to respond like we want it to respond. The body, in Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 14, is really talking about the entire personality. We're not just talking about the physical body, but Paul is really talking about the all-encompassing body that you and I have. And so tonight, I want to focus in, if you will, as we close out this quarter, the idea of the disciplined body and some things that are critical for us to know and to realize and to accept in regard to a disciplined body from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Number one, Paul says, and the teaching from Romans chapter 12, is when we talk about a disciplined body, you and I need to accept the fact that a disciplined body, this body that you and I have, Paul says in chapter 12, verse 1, that it is a body worth offering to God. I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Other translation says, offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or spiritual service. A disciplined body, what you and I must embrace as we close out this quarter, but not our life with God, and that is we have a body that is worth offering to God. You and I might think that this old body that I have is not worth much. And you're right. You might say that this old body is racked with pain, maybe cancer. And you're right. This old body is not as efficient as it used to be. And you're right. But I'm here to tell you tonight that the only thing that you and I have to offer is our body. So all that we have, like the widow and her two mites, I'm sure if she had $1 million, she would have given $1 million. But she only had two mites, which equal a farthing. That's all she had. You and I wish we had a body 8 feet tall so we can change light bulbs in the church without a ladder. But you're 4'11". We wish that we had all kinds of longevity so far as health is concerned, but you can barely walk up some stairs without passing out. That's the body that you have. And Paul says, offer that body to the Lord. To the Lord. All spiritual blessings. What Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, we talked about that this morning in Bible class. All spiritual blessings, this body that you and I have to offer, and that Paul admonishes and encourages us to offer, this body is going to yield forth all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. This body allows us to be chosen, to be holy, and without blame, Ephesians 1 and verse number 4. This body is foreordained and acceptable or adopted by God Almighty for his good pleasure, the good pleasure of his will. This body that you and I offer puts us into Christ, and we are therefore accepted by God Almighty. This body that you and I offer is that which is caused to be redeemed by God Almighty and forgiven. This body, all the riches of his grace, allows us to experience that when we offer this body. Not the body that you wish you had, not the body that you're hoping to have, not the body that you used to have, but this body right now, Paul says, give it to the Lord. Offer it up. Give it to the Lord. One of my favorite artists, young lady I met when they did a performance out in Western Tennessee, it's Tiffany Malone, and she has a song on one of her albums, and I think it's called Gotta Go. And she's on the phone with the Lord. And just like a phone call, when you're on, she gets a beep, and the devil is calling her. And she said, she tells the Lord, hold on for a second. And she goes, hello. And I mean, it's a beautiful, symbolical metal. It's a wonderful song. I mean, you just have to follow it along. And so she's talking to the devil. And the devil is saying, who are you talking to? And she said, I'm talking to a friend. I'm talking to someone else. And he says, I gather that I'm at living here pretty badly, but I am. That you found somebody else. And the devil says that he doesn't care about you. You need to come on back to me. But she says, no, he does care. And she makes it in this argument. So she starts saying, I got to go. I got to go. And so when she finally hangs up, she goes back to the call with the Lord. And he says, who was that? And he already, of course, Lord asks him, he already knows the answer to it. But I thought that was interesting. When we talk about this body that you and I have to offer to God, Satan is going to try to convince us that it's not worth the offering. God, on the other hand, is saying, present your bodies to me, offer them to me. And Satan is going to help us to understand that we don't have a perfect body to give. And so how many of us, when we talk about the disciplined body, will look at this body and say, I'm not worthy. And as a result of that, many times you and I will not work to discipline our bodies and appreciate what God has because we look at our bodies and we don't see the value. I think it's important for us to realize that the value is not generated by us. The value is generated by God Almighty. At a garage sale some time ago, and so you have this little trinket and you think this thing is worth 5 cents. But somebody comes by and they're looking for that trinket. And they say, I'll give you $5. And you go, whoa, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And so with God, our bodies are important to him. Jesus died that he might redeem us. And you and I look at our bodies and we think it's not that much to it. Our bodies are falling apart. And yet Paul says, put your body up on the altar. So if we're going to accomplish this disciplined body, let us first of all realize that we have a body that is worth offering to God. Putting it up on the altar, fuming it, if you will, to God Almighty. Living holy and well-pleasing lives is how you and I offer ourselves to the Lord, no matter what kind of body you have. I was at Sunset many years ago, and we have this thing where during the World Evangelism Forum, we have young people who have just gotten out of the school, and they'll bring their families up on the pulpit, and they'll tell the audience that, hey, this is John and Susie Smith. We have purposed ourselves. We want to go to Mexico as missionaries, as a missionary family. We need X amount of dollars for support. Here we are. Send us. And as I look at that, as I think about that, I begin to think, well, I can understand that. Here's a young person who has applied themselves for the last 2 years, 2.5 years with mission and learning linguistics and all those kinds of things, and they have purposed their family and purposed their lives, and they're getting ready to go to Mexico to be missionaries for 2-5 years. I can understand that. But what kept my attention is when you have somebody like Brother Curtis Harrison who comes up in a wheelchair or comes up on crutches. And he says, brothers, what I want to do is to go into this particular ministry, and I want to do this, and I do. And he's racked with pain, and he's racked with inadequacy so far as his body is concerned. And yet he says at the end of his presentation, here I am, send me. All he had to offer was his body. And all you and I have to offer is just what we have, and that's our bodies. Paul says, the disciplined body. Realize that you have a body worth offering. That might come as a revolutionary thought to some of us, because we have convinced ourselves, along with the help of the devil and also sometimes close people that hang by us, that we don't have all that to give. But the reality of it is Jesus died for our bodies. He died for you, if you will, and he wants you to give that to him. Not only that, but a disciplined body is realizing that we have a body capable of changing. I need to know that. Because sometimes you and I come out of backgrounds, you and I come out of experiences that can be devastating. But if you look at Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, Paul says, and be not conformed, or be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So Paul says the idea of a disciplined body is not only to realize that we have a body worthy of offering, being offered, but we also have a body that is capable of changing. God tells us to repent, to change. Paul tells us here that it's possible. I love science. I used to not love English or history either until I became a Christian. And all of a sudden I realized that, well, God is into science, and he's into English, and also he's into history. So now I like it. I don't know if you realize this, but there was an article or a presentation on NPR, National Public Radio, a couple of days ago. But they were talking about squids. Watch this. Squids. You know what you don't eat it. But anyway, squids. These weird-looking octopus-type things that are out there in the ocean. But the author was doing, out of, University in Canada, they're doing some research about how squids have learned how to protect themselves against sharks. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So I drove real slow so I can hear the whole presentation. You know, don't you hate that when you're in the car, you know, you got a 10-minute presentation, but you're only 5 minutes away from, you know. So you drive slow and people blow at you, but you still drive slow and then pull off into a parking lot someplace, you know. So here's what happened. They say, and I don't know, you that are scientists, you that do research, God bless you. This I like the results. I don't know if I like the tediousness of the research, but they say that a shark, his methodology for capturing squid and anything else, some swimming person also, they are swimming low, and they are in touch with the light that's coming out of the sun or the moon. And whenever they see some kind of a shadow that gets between them and the sun, they go dinner time. So if a squid swims across and the shark is there, that squid presence is going to create a shadow. And the shark says, okay, it's time to eat. So he goes up and eats the squid. So the scientist says what squids have learned to do is that on the underside of them, they have the capacity, it's almost like a gecko or something, they have the capacity to emit light. And so what the squid does, as he's swimming around, and I don't know how he knows that the shark is down there, but he can actually emit, if you will, some kind of a light molecule that the shark will see light as opposed to the shadow of the squid. I thought that's pretty cool. So another squid makes it home for dinner. If God can equip a squid to protect himself against a natural predator, a shark, by allowing that squid to have the capacity to emit some kind of a light mechanism to cause that shark to look the other way or not see him, how much more has God given us the capacity to change and to be transformed? Some of us come out of tough backgrounds. Some of us come out of horrible challenges, divorce, and the list goes on. There's much pain that you and I have. But the scriptures teach us in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2 that we are to be transformed. But how does that happen? You and I might have been trying to change and we just cannot get the change done. But Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And so Ephesians again says the power that you and I have access to because we're in Christ is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. So a disciplined body is a body that is capable of changing. And we change because we are pleasing and desirous of pleasing God Almighty. I can do all things, Paul says, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. This letter that Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4 is written from a jail block. It is written by an elite leader that is now hanging out with a bunch of rejects called Christians. And yet Paul is able to make the change. Why? Because in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 and 20, his mighty power was based upon the power that caused Jesus to be raised from the dead. Wow. Change is possible. So the disciplined body says that I believe that change is possible. So as we go through our lives of walking with Christ, we understand the fact that I can actually change. No matter how long I've been here, no matter how much baggage I have, no matter how much striving I've gone through, no matter how much hardship, no matter how much disappointment, I can change. Why? Because I'm tapped into the power of God Almighty. All things are possible. We have fathers that can be good fathers, even though they might have a history of not being a good father. Why? Because of the capacity for a disciplined body to change. We have wives that can be good wives. Why? Because of the disciplined body of being connected to the power source. That's the idea. A disciplined body, a body capable of change. Third thought, and the lesson is yours. Not only must we realize in this disciplined body that I have a body worthy of being offered, a body capable of changing, but lastly, a body that's faithful, that can be faithful, that have the residue of faith. We learn from Scripture that it doesn't take a whole lot of faith to please God. I think Jesus will say the idea of a mustard seed, which is very small. Not about self-aggrandizement, but it's about having this idea of pleasing God with my life. Faithfulness. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, Paul says, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every one of us has a deposit. Every one of us have something in regard to faith, if I read Paul's statements here correctly. Luke chapter 18, verse 8 says something that's troubling to me. He says, when the Son of Man is come, will he find faith on the earth? Wow. Luke 18, verse 8. He spoke this passage, the scripture says, unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. A disciplined body is a body that realizes that I can be faithful, that God has dispensed in me based on the word of the Lord, based on the construct that God made in me, that I have capacity to be faithful. And faith is going to be the thing that wins out. Some of us will never have the faith that Apostle Paul will have to stand at the arena and declare our faith among thousands. We learned this morning from Ephesus, there was a Colosseum there that could house 25,000 people. Some of us will never have the opportunity to defend our faith in an arena of 25,000 people. Some of us will not have the faith that Moses had, as he would tell Pharaoh and his family, I would rather suffer with my people than to be blessed with all the trappings of Egypt. Some of us will never have the faith that Abraham had, where he's willing to wait on this child for many years and then offer this child up to God in a human sacrifice. But every one of us, according to Paul, has been dealt a measure of faith. A disciplined body realize that I can be faithful. Not only have I have a body that can be offered, not only have I have a body that can be changed, but also I have a body that can be faithful. What about this faith? Remember God's hall of faith over there in the book of Hebrew? Faith, just kind of a quick summary. Faith produces good works or good reports to the elders. Faith framed the world by the word of God. Faith produced a more excellent sacrifice. Faith translated Enoch so that he did not die. Faith pleased God. Faith produced a wooden ship called an ark. Faith allowed Abraham to move from Ur of the Chaldees to a land that he knew nothing about. Faith allowed Abraham to be a wandering Jew. It was faith. Old women, because of faith, got pregnant. Only son was to be offered in sacrifice because of faith. Faith produced blessings. Faith is effective even after death. Joseph will say, carry my bones after I die. It is faith. Causes royalty to become common. Ask old Moses about that. Faith allows dry land over the Red Sea. Faith allows walls of bricks, stone structures to fall. Faith, it causes a prostitute to be saved. You think I'm kidding, as Rahab. Faith allows kingdoms to be subdued, promises obtained. Faith will even stop the mouths of lions, as Daniel. So the disciplined body realizes that you and I have a body that can be faithful. I don't have to have the faith of a Marshall Keeble that went across this country and this world preaching the gospel. Maybe I only need enough faith just to share my faith on the bus. Faith might not be sufficient that I will be like Stephen, and even while I'm being stoned, I ask God to lay not this charge to those that are stoning me. Maybe my faith will give me the sufficient to handle the despairing jokes about me on my job. We're talking about a disciplined body. It is a body that's faithful. So as we come to the close of this particular quarter, my prayer, my hope, my desire is that all of us realize that this disciplined body talks about the state of our souls. And the state of our soul is that we have a body that God wants us to give to him. I don't know how this strikes you, but I'm amazed at how our Father loves us so much that he wants this old, decrepit, broken, beat up, cast down, arthritic body to be put up on an altar and fumed unto him. He looks forward to it. He wants it. Now, you and I might look in the mirror and we start laughing or start blushing. Or maybe we turn the light out. But God says, give me that body. offered to me. And you know, I said before, the difference between a dead sacrifice and a living sacrifice is that when you put a dead sacrifice up on the altar, it doesn't move. You turn the flames up, it's just going to cook. But you put a live sacrifice up there, and we tend to squirm. And Paul says, we are living sacrifices, but put that body up on the altar. Fume it unto God. But God, you don't understand. This body is not worth much. And God says, no, it might not be worth much to you, but it's worth enough for me to send my son to die for it. You and I have to make some adjustments in our thought process. We see so much through our own eyes.
Amen.
But we have to get to a point of seeing things from God's eyes. When you and I talk, we hear this all the time about the Holy Spirit this and the Holy Spirit there, and how will you know or what you, well, because the Spirit's going to tell me. I like having conversation with members like that because it gives me opportunity to kind of poke. Well, so how do you know the Spirit? Well, I'm just going to know. So how are you going to know? Well, because I'll just know. But then that's profound logic right there. I know because I'll just know. But Scripture teaches us that if you and I are in line with God's will, the Spirit will work with us. But don't you bring the Spirit down to your level and dictate to the Spirit. You just submit Amen. Yourself to the Spirit, and He will take you through the Word and allow you to be pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. This body, you might not think much about it, but God says, I want it. Put it on the altar and give it to me. But it's daily. A disciplined body, the state of our soul, is a daily commitment that you and I have to make. Other than that, brother, all we're talking about is just noise. A disciplined spirit, a disciplined soul, is about you and I on a day-to-day basis, Amen. Making the decision that God, this day, I give myself to you. Wow. Not only that, but making sure that this old body, this body that you and I have been in all of our lives, it can change. Stay with that for a second as I come in for a close. It can change. Who would have thought that a racist, ungodly, God-fighting fellow by the name of Saul of Tarsus
Amen.
Would ever become the apostle to Gentiles? Who would have thought it? With God, all things are possible. Are you open to change? You're not going to have this disciplined body unless we're open to change.
Amen.
When I've always done it this way, okay, so are you open to change? Will you change if it's pleasing and acceptable to God? That's what this disciplined body is all about. And finally, we have faith. Are you here tonight? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You don't have to have the faith that can move mountains. You just have to have the faith the size of a mustard seed. That's not a whole big amount of faith, but that faith can move mountains. Hear the wonderful news about a God that wants you just where you are.
Amen.
Wow. Think about that for a second. Just where you are. Well, let me go home and put on my good clothes. No. He wants you right now. Well, let me graduate from college first. No. He wants you in your uneducated state right now. Well, let me get married and have a family. And no. He wants you single right now. Well, let me get this job first, and then no, he wants you poor right now. Today, if you hear his voice, don't you harden your heart. That's the idea. Faithful, are you here? Believe the wonderful news about a loving God that loves us beyond measure. While we're yet sinners, he died for us. Hear the wonderful, that's good news. Believe it, repent of your sins, confess the great name. Yes, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And with this, you and I will have the state of the soul that is such that we can walk into the very presence of God Almighty. And if we don't do it right away, that disciplined body will continue to be there so that when we do get called home, it'll be acceptable unto the Lord. Are you subject to heaven's invitation tonight in any kind of way? Won't you please come? We're together, stand and sing the song of invitation.
572. All to Jesus I surrender all. To Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed.